it's not something which you are going to achieve on your own. Whereas with Torah, if you can come to some way of working miracle through Torah, which is conceivably possible, like in this case over here, so then you don't need God. Right? Because Torah shapes the world. The way the Medr says at the beginning of Bereishis, it says that the Torah is the blueprint of the world. So therefore, if I now, let's say, learn Torah in way X, it changes the blueprint of the world, or the way Rav Todah puts it, it changes the map of the world. So therefore, a miracle also which is done by Torah has permanence. A miracle which is done by Tefillah, it doesn't change the map of the world. I ask God a favor. It's temporary. That's why Rav Todah says, Tefillah is called Chaye Shor, temporary life, whereas Torah is called Chaye Olam, eternal life. Why? Because in the case of Tefillah, I actually make a temporary change because I ask for God immediate, but obviously not continuous intervention, just like a one-time deal. Whereas by Torah, I can actually make a permanent thing happen, change things permanently, because now I've changed the blueprint of the universe by having changed the Torah. The flip side of that, though, is that with Tefillah, it's much easier to articulate and formulate how you what you want and ask God to do it for you. With Torah, it's much more tricky because you don't know exactly how to use the Torah in a way to create the miracle which you want to create. It doesn't always work that way, right? But hypothetically speaking, a mitzvah which is created through Torah has more of a lasting or permanent impact than something which happened by Tefillah, right?
Sorry, Rabbi. Tefillah is high olam of Torah and
high shah.
Shah.
I've heard that the tefillah it hasn't come about yet as why we say may be your will when pshat is pshat, it exists, it's there, and we're just bringing down what's there here, but through praying we're actually making things that are not there yet. So this corresponds to what
I wouldn't use the word making though. You're requesting things.
Yeah, right. From Hashem to make.
Right. But the idea is that by telling you make things.
Right.
By tefillah you ask things.
Right.
So in essence like I said, the better miracle, so to speak, is a miracle which is done by Torah, if you can do it. Because that has a lasting impact, and it makes things change. That's why you have miracles which occur, like, let's when Yoshua said, right? Yoshua said, Shemesh v'kivam dom v'yarech v'emek ayalon, right? The sun should stand still here in Givon, so we can fight the battle, even though the moon rises in the valley of Ayalon, where the world continues on its normal cycle. That's a request. That's an aberration. That miracle did not have any impact on nature, right? It wasn't something which became permanently embedded in nature. But things which are done by Torah, for example, let's say the rabbis decided and made a conscious decision to institute the holiday of Purim, just an example. So that makes a permanent change of creation. From the day Purim was introduced, the 14th and 15th day of Adar are no longer what the 14th and 15th day of Adar were before. They have unique qualities, special qualities, which is because they were instituted via Torah, not via Tefillah. So miracles that happen via Torah can be very powerful, but they don't leave a permanent impression. Miracles which happen via Torah do leave a permanent impression and impact. Okay? We got into all this because we were talking about running away from Chavos. And the way we got into this was because we said that a person is not supposed to look behind him if the sea of Chavos is coming to try and catch up with him, right? Now, the truth is that that's the case. It begs the question, if you run after Chavos, Chavos runs away from you. But if you said, Barach min HaKavod, HaKavod rode achacharos. If you run away from the Chavos, Chavos pursues you. But why do you want it? It sounds like you want the cover, but you don't. Right? You're running away from it. So it sounds like it's almost not fair. Right? Why should you want the cover if it's bad for you? You're supposed to run away from it. And yet the cover is running after you. So how are you supposed to deal with this? You see the question?
Yes.
So in fact, it's not for your benefit to have the kavod. The reason why then you're going to get the kavod is not for your benefit. No, for as far as you're concerned, it's very bad you get the kavod. But it's necessary for you to be honored in order that other people should learn from you. And that's why, you know, there's a story that one of the Bala Musa, I think Rabbi Sol Salanta, that maybe it's where Rebbe, Rabbi Zunzel Salanta, that when he came to a certain town, they carried him on his shoulders. Whatever, they carried him up, and they lift him up, and they in order to show him honor, I guess that's the way they did it, made from a chair, a hand, high, whatever the case may be. So he started mumbling to himself under his breath, as the story I once heard. And he said, well, they want to listen to hear what he was mumbling to himself. He said, I don't know if it's in Yiddish, but I heard the story in Hebrew. He said, Sichvu asana veva, Sichvu asana veva. You're carrying the carcass. You're carrying the carcass. Means to remind himself not to feel honored in any way. But they had to honor him, because they have to learn from him. So in essence, the fact that the covered runs after you is kind of not something you should want. The fact that the cover runs after you is almost something which is against, it's not almost.
You don't want.
So you don't want, but the way the world works, it has to be that way. Because otherwise people won't learn and won't understand what's supposed to be honored and emulated. That's a very fundamental principle which we call the cover which we give Tamid HaKham. Really, a Tamid HaKham, a real Tamid HaKham, right? We shouldn't want the cover. Not like me, that I'm always looking to see what honor I get. But a real Tamid HaKham should always not want the cover. So if a real Tamid HaKham doesn't want the kavod, then he is the person who Hashem says, now he will get kavod, in order not because he likes it, he shouldn't be able to stand it, he should be tested. But it's important for him to get it in order that other people know what is supposed to be respected. Okay? Another interesting story, a variant, a tangent, another tangent. They say Rabbi Yaakov Kamet to Moshe Feinstein once came to a convention, I don't know, it was a good convention or something, and they knew that when they went in the front, the main way, that, you know, everybody's going to stand up for them. So Moshe said, you know, let's sneak in the sidewalk. You know, I don't want everybody to stand up for us. It's not comfortable for me. Anyway, from Moshe Feinstein speaking. I think it's in the Rabbi Yaakov Netsky biography, that's what I thought. Now Yaakov said, no, we should go in the front door, they should stand up for us. Why? Because it makes our wives feel good. Right? We know, of course, for ourselves, we shouldn't want it, but our wives have to undergo a lot of pain, you know, a lot of difficulties, you know, we're constantly on call, people are always knocking on our door. So this way they get a little bit of nachas when they see that people stand up for us. So therefore we should go in the front door and have people stand up, not for ourselves, but that our wives should feel that it's worthwhile. Okay? That's an interesting approach. Okay? So I don't remember whether they actually walked in the front door as a result or not, but it's an interesting idea that you don't do it for your own honor, but rather in order that your wife or whatever should feel good about it. Okay, so let's go back to Maharal. Here's what Maharal says. The ain't covered el eteru. Says the Maharal, the only truth covered which a person can have, that which really makes the person legitimately honored. Not that he was looking for honor, but that which makes him worthy of honor is eteru. Again, because what?
Is covered void, or the truth covered comes from it?
But what I would say is that as I said before, kavod comes from kaveh,
right.
Weightiness, okay. Substance, significance. So the only thing which is really weighty, so significant, and substantive in this world is Torah. Right, that's what he's saying. Mm-hmm. So Shaydeh Torah Adam Yerush HaKavod HaGomor. By Torah he reaches to inherit the absolute honor. And the absolute honor means maybe nobody else honors him, but he's an honorable person. Because he possesses the Torah. So therefore, if he runs away, the way the Maharal is learning it, if he runs away from kavod, from honor, it's not that he's going to get honor, that the kavod is going to run after him, and it's going to get honor. And like I said, even though he doesn't want it, he's going to have to get it anyway, because he teaches other people. No, he says, he runs away from superficial honor. And he has internal honor. Not that anybody else gives him honor, they don't know who he is. Right? And they're not giving him honor. But what ran after him? True honor. What's true honor? Internal honor. What's internal honor? Something which is intrinsically part of yourself. What's that? The honor of possessing Torah. Again, it's not something which is external. Nobody else might give you honor. Perhaps nobody else gives you honor. But it's something which really makes you an honorable, worthy person. Okay? And we explain this at length. Eitzem mechavi des haTorah. When somebody where it speaks about somebody who honors the Torah. In ein overech min hakavod, if a person doesn't run away from human temporary honor and a royal covenant of Torah, he's not worthy of having the true honor, the honor of Torah. Okay, let's do one more so we can finish this paragraph. Alam is Zion, the 37th. Let's look at it and the in the picture of us. V'lo megis libo b'talmudo. He doesn't, well, the translation here, not being arrogant with his learning. Interesting thing. A person who learns a lot, you see this in yeshivas a lot, people become arrogant.
Yeah, like they think that they're right. And
right, they look down on other people, right? I do that also, right? Everybody in yeshivas does that, at least at some point. The, it is, I want you to know, it is, it's the, I become much less arrogant since I become, less arrogant since I decided to be teaching Rosh Hashanah. Because I look at the students of Rosh Hashanah as being much more worthy than me because of what they've accomplished. So, first, there's a natural tendency. There's natural tendency for people who are learning to be arrogant and look down at others. And you have this not just in the Jewish world, of course, but in the academic world. That's the concept of the ivory tower, right? People who look to the professors, who look down at the mere peons who are the dwell in the nether regions below, who have not yet experienced the greatness of the knowledge which they have acquired. So that is not such a good thing to have such an attitude, because ultimately it means, in essence, that you feel you've accomplished. And everybody else is below you. So what else do you have to accomplish? That's it. There's such a vast gap between you and them anyway, right? So what else do you have to do, right? It also leads to overconfidence, which leads to mistakes. Because if you think, well, I've been so great, so now I'm be confident. Let's say, if I think I know halacha very well, I'll go and I'll paskin halacha without looking in a sefer, because A, I think I know very well. B, I have my reputation to uphold. So therefore, I might come very easily to make a mistake in what I'm doing. So a person can't be magis libo, he can't feel haughty in his learning in that which he's acquired. Okay, let's see the moral on that. Look at what the moral says. You guys want to see? Where? In the it starts from Halamed Zayin. It's a few lines before the end of the page. The first word in the first word of the page is Halamed Zayin, which is the 37. You see that? First column. Okay, first column, a few lines before the end of the page. Halamed Zayin, well, maybe Sliba Barah, he doesn't become haughty in his teaching. Kimishu got Sliba Barah, so he's haughty in his teaching or in his passing. Who shaitet? He's a fool. Verosha. An evil person, the God threw up, and a hot bag of air, a bag of hot air. That's an amazing statement, right? Umashu Shoyte, since he's a fool, Mizet Eidach, you ain't a loyal chama, right? You should know that that's why he's not suitable to be wise, because he's stupid, right? He's a fool. A person who says, becomes funny and says, oh, I know better than everybody else. Somebody like that is never going to acquire any wisdom. Somebody who's haughty in issuing halacha. We soaked my hair to quickly rule on something which requires careful deliberation and consideration. Because he's a fool. It demonstrates that this person lacks skills in the sense of modesty and humility. Right? And the prophet says, that at the end of the prophet says, what does Hashem ask you? So Hashem asks you, Basnea lechef imelokecha. Go modestly and humbly with Hashem. Don't assert yourself, but rather attempt to walk with Hashem. Now somebody who walks, it's also happened, they have a famous mashal about a dog, right? A dog, when you have a master leading a dog, so the dog looks like he's leading the master because he runs out in front, right? But in reality, he's just a dog, and the master holds the leash, right? So a person who's a god slave, right, a person who's haughty, so he's like the dog. He strains the head and pretends like he's the one who's doing the leading, right? In reality, he's on the leash anyway, right? as if he doesn't realize he's on the leash. That's why he's in trouble, right? So he's not to the drug of Ain't him out himself versus his humble doesn't rule on things quickly. He chachmaso snua imo, because his wisdom is hidden and deep within him. It runs deep because it's the result of deliberation with humility and modesty. Says with people who are modest, there is wisdom. We may like in English to know if a person is not modest, but a person is haughty and full of it, who array reveal he is a fool, they were la hachma, and wisdom is not suitable for such a person.
Okay.